Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to our third service on Zoom. Welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church. I hope that you are well. I hope that the Lord has been good to you. I hope that it's been good to you and to your family, and that you keep on walking with him in faith, with the strength and the grace that he enables you. This is your first time joining us on Zoom. May the Lord bless you and welcome. And we're looking forward to welcome you soon, we hope, one day into the church, into the physical building as such, to be a worship there. But we know that the Lord is present even in our midst now, in our homes, through this service, through the word that we're going to hear, through the worship that we're going to bring before him. The Lord continues to work in our midst. I'd like to start this morning by reading a few scripture verses from Isaiah chapter 9. Our verses, they introduce us to the theme of the second Sunday of Advent, the theme of love. Love came down at Christmas. Love came among us in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is the prophecy that was given to Isaiah hundreds of years ago, fulfilled 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and peace, there will be no end. Those are the words that are the basis, are the platform which our service today revolves around and built on as we come to worship him as God love to us, God as love, God sending his son Jesus Christ to be among us, to come and minister to us, die for us, and be brought back to life so that we may have hope, love, peace, and joy. Those first attributes that we're journeying through this time of Advent. Last week we looked at hope, today at love, next week at peace. And so as we journey together in our own homes, let's bow our heads and pray and commend everything we do this morning to the Lord, to his care and his love. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being together in one spirit because of the calling that you have given us in our lives, because indeed of your love that you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your presence with us this morning. We ask that everything we do, we say, to our singing, to our listening, to our participation this morning, your name, the name of Jesus Christ, will be glorified. We ask that you bless us with your presence. You will enrich us through your promises and give us hope and fill our hearts and lives with love. Love that is eternal. Love that is sacrificial. Love that goes the extra mile. Lord, in everything we do today, indeed, may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for that candle Advent, the second candle of love, now watch this YouTube video as it's put together by Phil Champ, our superintendent.
Light this flame as those to whom God has spoken, with lives touched by word made flesh in Jesus, believing that God's word still sheds its light on the chaos and concerns of human circumstances. A light of love is kindled amidst a world of many voices, each clamoring to be heard and to silence any that are raised in contradiction. But among their narratives of division and distortion, we seek again that song of love which can always be heard by those who choose to listen. We hear again the voices of prophets echo their message of truth in every generation, declaring God's comfort to those who despair and challenge to those who believe this world to be their own. We who believe that God's word still speaks, light this flame to declare our readiness to hear, seeking peace through knowing that in the deepest despair, echoes of hope can be at their most profound.
Wonderful video, wonderful words there. We choose to listen to that song of love. And so this morning, it's something that I really miss at this time of the year, especially that we are not in churches, the fact that we cannot sing some carols, we cannot engage in our relationship with one another in church and bring together God's glory as we sing praise to him. But we've got our Daniel and Renee who will be singing for us, and we can join, of course, in our own homes, singing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. That's really the whole key to the message of Christmas is Love Divine, who has come down, who has excelled in all our expectations, who come and loved us to the cross and to an empty tomb. So let's hear Daniel and Renee singing and bringing glory to God, and we'll join them in our own homes and in our own hearts. Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Divine, all love excelling.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank you. Absolutely excellent. Excellent. You know, what a lovely hymn to introduce our theme of love this morning. And it is from that love divine, so excelling in everything, that we want to hear it, how it actually happened and how wonderful that God of love is. And we have a reading this morning that describe to us what it means to live in that love as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, once we understand that God is love, in whatever way we understand that love, then we are called to live among others that love as Christians. So let's hear this passage that Carl is going to read for us from 1 John chapter 4.
Morning, everyone. So today's reading is 1 John 4, 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us.
Amen. What a wonderful word that is. And we'll dwell a little bit more on it in a few moments or so, as I bring a 10 minutes or so reflection on how we can live in God's love. Very difficult would be to describe that love in a sermon of 10 minutes or so. But however, we are called in a desperate world like today to continue to love, to continue to encourage and bring hope into broken lives, into disillusioned lives, into hurt and broken hearts at the moment. And one of the things in which we can continue to show love to people is to pray for them, is to intercede before our Heavenly Father for the world situation, for the world scene that we see unfolding before our very eyes in this last few weeks and months. For here in our church, as much as in our community in Lancaster, for the world at large per se. And so Daniel is going to lead us into prayers of intercession. Let us pray together as Daniel leads us.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that at this time of year, we can celebrate your love. We can celebrate the hope and the joy and the peace that you bring. And we know that Advent and Christmas, like much of 2020, is going to be very, very different for many of us. We thank you that the message of Christmas is the same, that you came, Emmanuel, God with us. And we remember again those words in Isaiah, to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. And so we pray today for those who need to know your presence with them as a Wonderful Counselor, for those who have tough decisions to make, for those who are worried about work, about their family or friends, about their own health or the health of others. We pray that you would give them guidance, that you would give them wisdom, that you would counsel and comfort and help them in the times of uncertainty that they find themselves now. And he will be called Mighty God. Lord, we thank you that you are the Almighty One, the one who can do anything. And we bring to you those who are facing impossible situations at the moment, those who need to know that you are in control, that you are the Lord of all. We pray in particular for our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted because of their love of you. Give them courage. Help them to know that you stand with them in their suffering. We pray for those who are ill, those who are mourning, those who are suffering with stress, those who are finding life really tough at the moment. May they know the omnipotence of your presence. May they know that you are with them as their mighty God. And he will be called Everlasting Father. We pray for those who are feeling unloved, who are feeling isolated, abandoned, those who are being treated badly by other people, those who are mourning. We pray that they would know your love, that they would know that you are their perfect Father, and that your love for them will never, ever end. Help them to be reassured by that. And I pray that you'd help us to emulate you and your everlasting love for others, that we would show compassion and kindness to those that we meet, that we demonstrate your love to them in how we treat them and in what we say to them. And he will be called the Prince of Peace. Lord, as we listen to the news, we hear so much of war and conflict and division. And it would take so long to name all the places on our hearts now. But we think especially at the moment of Ethiopia. We think of Syria and Iran. We think of Hong Kong. We think of the United States and our own country with Brexit negotiations, tensions over different tiers that people have been placed in because of the pandemic. We pray in all these situations that you would bring your peace, that you would heal divisions, that you would bring reconciliation and plant in us a seed of hope that peace will come. We pray also for reconciliation between families, between work colleagues, between neighbours and friends, that your peace would come into those more personal situations too. But above all, Lord, we pray that you'd give us peace in our own hearts. You came to bring peace between us and God, to bring reconciliation between this almighty God and us. We thank you that you died for our sin and that we can be at peace with you because of what you've done. In our worship today and in the week that lies ahead, help us to remember these things, to remember that you are our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, to know the presence of Emmanuel with us in each and every moment of each and every day. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Excellent. Absolutely brilliant. This is a way, as I said, in which we can show love to people, in which we can continue to love them as we bring them into our prayers of intercession before the Father above, to be able to answer all these prayers according to his will. And so we have a fantastic song now that continues this theme of love or prayer, of us being as disciples of Jesus to express that love in a very practical way. And I don't know the song, but I love the words. So the love of God is greater far. Some of you probably will know it already. And now I would like to encourage you to look at those words and let them just sit with you, you know, dwell into your heart, and let them grow and minister to you this morning, as Daniel, Renee, and the Harper family indeed. They will minister to us today, gifting this morning. So the love of God is greater far.
God is great above.
Wonderful. I love that song. I've never heard it before, but what a lovely word and lovely voices from the for our wonderful Harper family. This song, I think, and this family is going to be a number one Christmas list soon. They were going to be a number one. We're all going to go rush out and buy these CDs. They will be available soon in HMV and on Amazon, of course. So I want to share with you a little bit about God's love. How can you talk about God's love in 10, 15 minutes when it's so indescribable, so wonderful, so incredible, so inclusive, so beautiful, so wonderfully sacrificial, and all completely outlooking, socially outlooking, outwardly looking into other people's lives? It's very difficult, and I've been... I think before I share this message a little bit with you, this reflection, I want to say to you, thank you for joining us again and watching these services on Zoom. I know it's preferable and would love to be in church together to worship the Lord, but I like personally on your behalf to thank all those who work so hard behind the scenes to make this Zoom service now happening. I think it's probably the closest we come to fellowship together, to being together so far. Even in churches, we tried 3-4 services up to now. It's not quite as close as it is on Zoom, because as soon as we finish the service, we have to go home and not chat and so on. So this is probably as closer we come to a fellowship, because we can be together. We can have a chat afterwards on Zoom. We can catch up with the news and so on, and not be worried that we might catch something or that we may pass on something to someone else. So I'd like to say thank you to you for joining us and even putting up with some of the technology challenges that we face with Zoom and services like this. So I'm really grateful to you. We're on a learning curve here, including myself preaching to a camera like this. And actually, my iPad now reminds me that I've got about 25% left of the battery, so I better get on with it for that matter. And so I want to say thank you to those who prepare the services week in, week out like this and help us with technology, as much as thank you to you for your patience with us as we battle through this and we learn our way through this, and of course for joining us. So how can I describe God's love to you? It's so difficult, isn't it? Because unless you experience, unless you feel it, unless you've been at the receiving end of the sacrificial love in Jesus Christ, it's very difficult to portray it. It's very difficult. And even then, it's even hard to say how God's love feels, because from individual to individuals, that love is different. God deals with us differently. We are a different parable. When he comes into our lives, as disciples, as individuals, he comes in a specific way that is unrepeatable and is not a copy. God's grace is always shaped and molded to bring to us the purpose that he has for each one of us. That's why it's so different and it's so difficult to describe it. I've been looking to try and find some stories of the last 6, 7, 8 months to describe a little bit what God loves looks like. And I've been looking in churches, I've been looking at people in mission, but also I've been looking at people outside those circles that are what we call Christians, people who have seen in the NHS, doctors, nurses. I've been looking at their faces who worn those incredible ichi, I will call them, visors and masks on them, and some of them even having asthma like myself and still worn those things and went to work day in, day out, in shifts and work to eradicate and to help people who were ill with this disease. How does God's love look like? I look at the faces of those who are full of blisters, full of red marks, because of hours on end, worn those masks on them and those visors on them, and yet they were there doing their duty and helping others. This was a story, there's a story that we've seen and we're going to hear for the years to come. And to me, they represent God's love in our community as such. I have seen doctors, I've read recently about a doctor lady, about 28 years old, who had 3 children, and the smallest one was only 2 months old. She has chosen to isolate herself, to sleep in the garage of her home for the next 5 months. Live in the garage, go to work, live in a garage, go to work, and see her children just through a window. Just through a window and say hello to them. How sacrificial that is, how wonderful that love is. And we want to thank people like that in this country who, I remember a few months ago when they asked for volunteers to go and help with setting up the hospitals and so on, how many thousands of people, they had many more people coming that they needed to go and help out with setting up all these things so that people can be treated. This is how God's love looks like, very sacrificial, not to mention the story of Captain Tom Moore, how wonderful that is. Whatever saving, raising, you know, £30 million for the NHS and so on. And the scripture, our Bible, is full of stories of love, from those of family, romantic love, to those of sacrificial love. Those of, they express God's love from individual to individual. You have wonderful stories of romance, from Abraham and Sarah to Esther and her pagan king, a husband king. You have Jacob and Rachel, you have Ruth and Boaz, stories of the Old Testament that shows us love. But also you have God's love represented in Joseph, in David, in Hosea, and many other characters of the Bible. Yet during this Advent, as we talk about love, as we talk about God's love, this candle of love, we are drawn to one magnificent story, the story of Mary and Joseph as a romantic story. But then we also, flowing out of that is the story of Emmanuel, of God showing his love, that while we were still sinners, he sent his son Jesus Christ to be born among us. A son was given to us indeed, to be with his people. And this story in Matthew's gospel is represented as a sacrificial love that puts the lives and needs of other people before his own. In Mark's gospel, this is a very costly love from Jesus and willing to go to the cross and pay the price. In Luke's gospel, this is a very transforming, healing love. A lot of the healing ministry of Jesus is portrayed and described in Luke. And of course, Luke, as you remember and you all know, he was a doctor. So of course, he will express those kind of very practical love that we've seen, as I started this message, that we've seen in our NHS, in our doctors, in our nurses as such, and all people, you know, from the bin men to all the other people who've been helping, the lorry drivers and so on. Love in very practical ways. But in the Gospel of John, John who wrote the Gospel and those letters to the churches, the true love gives everything that he has. And true love of God gave everything that he had. He is given his one and only begotten Son. And this is how God has shown us his love, that he's given us his Son, as we heard in the passage today. This kind of love is the essence, is the core of the whole Christianity, of the whole human history, of the whole Christmas story. It centers as the pinnacle of what we believe and what we feel and what we want to express in our life day by day. It's very difficult to express that love today. As we said this morning, we can do it through prayers, we can do it to all sorts of other ways. It's very difficult to even put in practice verses like "let us not become weary in getting together, in being in one place together, in meeting together." But there's one verse also that says, and which is much easier to do, is let us not become weary in doing good. Although these got these challenges in today's circumstances and difficulties in social distancing world that we live just now, because it's tough to go and see someone. We are not allowed to do that yet at the moment. But I tell you, a few months ago, I've seen God's love, as I said, throughout the country, but I even seen it on my doorstep. It was about 40 years ago last time I had someone knocking on my door and saying, "Emilian, have you got toilet paper?" I have seen God's love in my neighbor asking me that question. Last time, as I said, 40 years ago, I was asked that question when I was living in the communist Romania under very strict regime, and everything was Russian for food, to all the goods, the necessities that we needed day by day. Well, a few months ago, my neighbor came in and said, "Do you need toilet paper? Have you got enough toilet paper?" This is God's love. How can we express that God love today? The telephone call, the Zoom, the technology that we have, is still a chance and it's still an opportunity, because although the virus has stopped us from being together, it has not stopped us from loving one another, from continuing to show that love to one another in very practical ways. And why do I say that? It's because when God gave the great covenant to Abraham, he realized that it wasn't enough. When God gave the law to Moses, he realized that that wasn't enough. When God gave the sacrifices ritual to the Israelites, to his nation, to his chosen people, he realized that that was not enough. When God gave his word to the prophets, he realized that that was not enough. And so he decided, as the scripture tells us in this incredible passage in 1 John chapter 4 that we read, he said that God has given us his Son and he's shown us how his love is like by sending his one and only Son among us. God has sent his Son Jesus Christ to live among us, to minister to us, and indeed to die for us. He expanded in teaching people of his day about the kingdom of God, about healing their diseases and ministering to the need. This is how God's love is expressed. This is how God's love continues to be expressed. And as I said, it is challenging that we live at this time, and it is more difficult to do that physically, but yet we can still do it through the means of technology, through prayer that we have, through the telephone that we can ring and say, "Hey, how are you doing? Do you need a roll of toilet paper?" Or whatever it is. It's God's love that can be expressed and shown even today. But let me tell you something, and this is the truth that I want to bring out and close with this morning in this message, is that whatever your motivation, when your motivation for love is to self-serve, you will get fed up, you will get hurt, because when you love sacrificially, when you love beyond human endeavor and power, you will get hurt by people. You will have criticism. You'll have relationships that will be damaged. You'll be hurt because not many people will want to accept your love and your gifting and your sacrificial love for them. But you will only get hurt and you will only stop loving like that when you try to satisfy yourself, when that love is self-serving love. But if your love for serving others, it is because you love God, as we are reminded here, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. Dear friends, says, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is how we must continue to love others, because we love God, not ourselves. Because when we love God, all the criticism that we get, when we love God, all the rejection that we experience, it will not stop us and it will not make us give up on that love. The question I want to ask today, would any of us be willing to put ourselves to this? Why would we do this? Why would we accept to love in spite of the pain and the risk that comes from loving sacrificially in being rejected? Why would we do that? Why would we do it? Let me give you a verse of why as an answer to this. So whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You see, when you do everything you do, when even including your love for others, in spite of difficult circumstances, in spite of that love being rejected and you being hurt, when you do it for the glory of God, you do it because you love him. And that shows incredible, not only maturity, but it shows your commitment and an understanding of God's love into this. Greater love no one has than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. John reminds us in his gospel. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Second question I want to ask, are you, am I at that kind of level of loving that we can say God love is complete in us? Let me read that verse again to you. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. God's love is made complete in us only when we learn to love him and also love one another. In the end, at the end of the day, God gave us only two commands. Love God and love thy neighbor. Those are the one and two really commands that God asks us to. It's not a covenant. It's not a law. It's not a prophetic word. It is a new, if you want, covenant that is bound by one significant, powerful expression of adoration, of worship, to love God and to love one another. I hope and pray that the Lord will give you the opportunity to not only share God's love with others in these very challenging times, but also for you to be loved and hear that voice of love and reassurance of how much he loves you. God's love is made complete in us as we love him, as we love one another. Those two are together. God's love is made complete. That's why we are called to love him. We are called to love one another and represent his love to all humanity. And in all of this, why? Let me remind you why. Because of his glory. He will get the glory. I pray that the Lord will bless you with grace, with strength, that you will be able to love in spite of the challenges that you face, to love a difficult parent, to love a difficult boss at work, to love a difficult brother or sister, to love even yourself. And of course, above everything else, to love God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. God is love, and he showed us that love in Jesus Christ. There's this Sunday of Advent. Pray for ourselves that we'll continue in that love. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to hear your word this morning, to be encouraged and to hear your promises of love for us. We ask it on this day, in these very challenging circumstances that we live, you will give us the grace, the power, the strength to continue to love you and others. Father, I pray this morning that because of Jesus Christ and his love that you have shown us in him, in and through the cross, we will know deeply in our lives your love. I pray for every single listener of this message here, whether now live or later in the recorded program, that as they hear your voice, as they listen to God's word this morning, they will know and experience your love anew and fresh. They will feel the presence of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for those who are struggling this morning with loneliness, with self-esteem, with self-worth, those who are hurt by others in their relationships, those who are longing for your healing touch. Lord, I pray that you will come in the presence of your Holy Spirit and touch us where we are now, in our homes. As we listen to this, as we encounter your Holy Spirit, Father, come. Come to your Spirit, we pray. Come and bless us. Come and touch us. Come and transform us. And may in everything we do or say, may we display your glory. Help us to love sacrificially, unreservedly, and totally. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And so another song that takes us through and describes to us the challenges of God's love for us, the challenges that we face as we go through the world as disciples of Jesus Christ. A challenge that also is a promise that God's love is always with us. Psalm 23 describes that to us as we walk, as we go, as we experience the valley of the shadow of death. He is there preparing a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies, so that we may continue to dwell in his house, so that we may continue to know his presence and rejoice in him, so that we may continue to love. Psalm 23. This is our last song for this morning, and then we'll come back for the blessing. Tanya and Renee, lead us into worship and Psalm 23.
Thank you.
I love this. I have to unmute myself every time I have to speak to you. Please make sure you unmute me too. Only if you want to. So let me give you a blessing from God's word this morning. And this is how we know. This is how we know what love is. That Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Go in love, go in peace, go in joy. Go and glorify the name of your Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't forget, we now join for a, you'll be sent to rooms and all that stuff. You'll have the privilege to chat and catch up with one another and hear the news and so on. And I hope you stay and join us for this incredible cup of tea and chat this morning. What a privilege this is, isn't it? To stay at home, listen to the sermon, have the chocolate, the box of chocolates by you, a cup of tea, and listen to whatever is there. So let's join together now, I guess, into, and Shona's going to, I think, Shona, you're going to divide us in room.